Sit down yet. Hang on. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. He's here. Praise you, Lord. I just feel an applause in my heart where we give God an applause. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Your plan is perfect, Lord. Your plan is perfect, and you are perfect in all your ways, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father, praise you, Father. Before you sit down, God's changing things up a little bit here. I'm going to get into my message, but back when my daughter, she was about 2.5 and 3 years old, around that age, we went to Disney. And on the way back, we're on the boat going back to the parking lot, and it's cool out, and she's sitting on my lap. And all of a sudden, I feel a warmness on my leg, and she went on my leg, and she just looked up at me like that, and I looked down. I said, "It's all right, baby. We're good. We're good." And she just laid her head on my shoulder. And God spoke to me. He says, "That's how I love my children." This is one of the most impactful moments of my life. He says, "My children, they're on my lap, and they mess on my lap, but I clean them off because I love them." And he said, "The same love that you had for your daughter in that moment," he says, "that's what I have for you." And the reason why we're switching it up right now, because we're coming into the Christmas season, and God wants you to be fully aware of how much he loves you. And there are some of you here, it's almost like a last chance for you. Is God real? Is his love real for you? And let me say this to you. God doesn't like it when we mess up. But he understands certain things. He understands the way that we're made. He understands the things that we've gone through. And when I mess up, I go back to him. And I say, "God, I'm sorry." He says, "Jeff, let me show you a better way." Did you hear that? He's not there to punish you. He wants to fix the problem. And if all it comes out is punishment or whatever, what is accomplished there? Nothing. But you see, God wants you to experience his heart. And so I needed to share that with you because a lot of us, we know how to serve, we know how to give, we know how to sow, but we don't always know how to receive from him because we have all these different things going on in our minds. Is there someone here today that you pulled up and you're out of gas and you need gas money? Can I see your hand? Anybody? Do you know how to receive? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Sometimes we're prideful and we don't want anybody to know, you know, that we have a weakness, we have a lack in our lives. But I look at it this way. If God says that to me and I need gas, I'll raise my hand. Because then I have no lack. So I'll put that before you today. If there's anybody here, I have gas money for you if you need that, okay? And before I leave, if you don't want to come up now, you come up and see me after service. Is there anybody here that needs some money? How much? Well, now, I know we all need money, right? I'm doing pretty good, but I'll use another million, okay? Okay, how much money do you need? 400. How much do you need? Okay. Does anybody need 20 bucks? Because God spoke to my heart and he says there's somebody here that needs $20 when they come in today. And I have $20 for you. Do you know how to receive? Amen, amen. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Nothing is too big for him. You need $400? Okay. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. And it's not dependent upon how good you are. It's not about how bad you are. It's because you belong to him. And he wants to minister to each one of us here today, the things that we have need of. He also said, tell the people, I want what belongs to me. I want you to give back to me what belongs to me. Think about that. I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? He wants you to give to him what belongs to him. That is your fear, your anxieties, your worries, your doubts, all your flaws, all your anger, all your hurt, all your unforgiveness. He says, I want it back. He says, you're not designed to carry that. I went to the cross for you to take care of those things. And he says, if you give it to me this day, I will receive it and I will in exchange give you the peace, the comfort. I will give you the provision, the healings that you need to make you whole because I love you. It's not about what you've done for him. It's about who you are. I want you all to close your eyes just for a moment. And I want you to think about what is it that you've got to give to him right now. He wants it back. He says, give it back to me. He says, I don't care what it is. He says, I want it. I want to take it out of your hands. I want to take it out of your lives. I want to minister life into you. And if you do that, that gives me permission to come in and to put my life, everything that I have, back into your life and to restore those things that have been stolen, to fix those things that have been broken, to mend those things that have seemingly been destroyed. Because he loves you, because he cares for you. I envision it this way. I have this plate of all the nonsense in my life, all the hatred, all the anger, all the hurt, all the doubt, all the fear, all the anxieties. And I just say, here, Jesus, I can't carry it. It's too heavy for me. I give it to you, Lord. And in the same manner, Lord, I do receive your fullness. I receive your fullness. Fullness is important. Fullness is important right now. In the past, we've been getting by on his goodness and you know, having a good time with his goodness. But at the same time, we've not entered into his fullness. The joy is in the fullness of God. And that's what he's about to release into this entire world as we come into this season. We all know prophetically what's taking place. But it's about his fullness. And he wants to begin in your life. He wants to release fullness into your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. You ready to give it to him? Just hold your hands out to him. Says, here, Lord. Here, Lord. I honor you, Lord. And I am so grateful today. I am so grateful today. Take this, Lord. Thank you for taking it, Father. Hallelujah. Now, receive from him. Receive from the Lord right now what he has for you. Because he's going to put in your heart now a spirit of peace and a spirit of comfort. And he wanted me to do this up front. It changed everything because he wants you to receive the word today. And if you have all these things hanging on to your life, it interferes with what he wants to do. So just receive. Just receive that breath. Receive that help in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Praise God. It is well with my soul. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Praise you, Father. Is something settling good in your spirit right now? Well, before we go any further, at the beginning of the outbreak of COVID, God began to minister to me because I was trying to figure out what's going on. I think a lot like other people were as well. And he said, listen to what comes out of people's mouths and watch what they do. Because they're revealing themselves. And that's not the part that I want to hit right now. That's a whole other thing. But the thing of it is that he also said that I'm going to start developing pastors or shepherds after my own heart. And so it's not that there aren't shepherds with his heart. There are some that don't have his heart. And he's going to begin to work in them. And those that are willing to submit to him, he'll make that change. But also to the ones that already do have his heart, he's going to do another work in them that's going to develop them anymore. Your pastor has a heart for God as a shepherd. And he says, don't idolize her. This is a warning to all of you. Don't idolize her. He says, respect her. Respect the God in her. But do not idolize her. She's a messenger from God. She's a gift from God. And you're to do that. And if you do that, it will be well with you. Because he will impart into her things that you need for your well-being. And if we ignore that, then sometimes we find ourselves in trouble. And then we have to, clean up that mess, so to speak. And we do that in love. But the thing of it is the depth of God's love for us, that we haven't touched it yet, but he's about to reveal that to us. I believe we're going to have the most excellent Christmas season that we've ever had. Why? Because God is involved in this, because he's going to move sovereignly. I know things don't look well, but we're not to be moved by the things that we see. We're to be moved by faith in what the Word of God says. And you don't have to be a prophet to understand prophecy, okay? I'm not a prophet, but I understand prophecy. There are times where God will reveal things to me through a word of prophecy. But we know what's taking place. But here's the thing that I'm so excited about is that we know that what the enemy wants to accomplish, what he's trying to birth into this earth right now, he can't complete it.
That's right.
Because his season has not yet come. The season of the Lord is at hand right now. A great and mighty harvest is taking over. It's going to flow across the entire earth where souls are coming into the kingdom. And until that takes place, then the enemy can't do what he wants to do. He has to retreat. God says, I'm going to move sovereignly and I'm going to start moving into the hearts of my children individually. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be the fivefold ministry gifts. He says, my children. Over in the book of Joel, he said he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Think of it this way. You were put here on this earth for this time and for this season because he put something in each one of you that he wants the world to see. He says, you're going to rule with me as kings and priests in the earth. Okay? It's one thing when we get to heaven, but what are we going to do now when we're here on the earth? And he says, I'm going to sovereignly move. It's not going to be a personality. It's not going to come from a pulpit, although there will be personalities involved. You will receive certain things from the pulpit, but this is not designed by anyone but God, and he's unfolding it the way that he wants us to. And that's why he's trying to get us prepared and get us ready. Each one of you have something to do in the kingdom of God. From the eldest in this room to the youngest in this room, there's a reason he wanted you here. And I look at it this way. The Apostle Paul, he's jealous of us right now. He would do anything if he could be here at this time and be a part of what we're doing. But you know what? He was designed for his season. We couldn't go there and function that way because we're not designed that way. But we're designed for today. And so I speak to you in the name of Jesus. I put a demand upon every good thing that God's placed in you. I call it forth in the name of Jesus. I call forth all the truth, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the beauty to come forward and make itself known in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And as it flows through her, it's going to be the same way for you. I put a demand upon you. I put a demand upon you. Everything that's in you that's of God to come forward in the name of Jesus. everyone here in this building, God's about to do something great. So I'm going to get into this in a moment, but for some of you, I'm Pastor Jeff from Abundant Life. I've been there for 36 years, and we're still going, and I'm the care pastor over there, so I deal with a lot of things. I see a lot of things because of the position I'm in, because I deal with benevolence, I deal with funerals and weddings and everything, do counseling and everything. So I see a lot of things. But here's the thing that I know, is that everyone that comes unto the Lord, He'll not turn away. He has a solution. He has an answer for everything that they're facing. And so I look at things a little bit differently than a lot of people do. The thing that breaks my heart is when I have to tell someone, no, I can't help you, because I can't help them. But I believe that God's going to change that to where we have all sufficiency with every situation. It's going to change to where pretty much we can handle anything that comes in. And if we can't in certain situations, that's our problem. That's on us. We need to press in a little bit more, because I don't believe God wants anybody to be left behind. So God gave me a thing here today, and the reason why He wants to get everything out of the way is because He explained it to me this way. He showed me the kingdom, and there's three parts into the kingdom. And He says, I am empowering my church, I'm strengthening my body, and I'm beautifying my bride. So there's three things taking place within the kingdom. And so as we, before we got into the message here and the way I had it arranged, of course, God has the preeminence over that. But over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, this is out of the Passion Translation, we're talking about casting all your cares upon Him. We have to live a life like that each and every day, that we cast our cares upon Him, because they bunch up on us. Yes. I've gone through this several times in my walk with God, where I've had five or six major things I'm dealing with at one time. I mean, they're crushing things that I've got to deal with. And they're so bad that when He does a miracle in one area, and hallelujah, but I don't even enjoy it because I've got the five other things that I've got to deal with. So I didn't receive the fullness of what He just did. But you see, when we fall into that place, we cheat ourselves, because we should rejoice in those things, because out of that joy, the other things will fall into place. But I know the pressure's on some of you in those areas. But over in 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, pour out all your worries and stress upon Him and leave them there. That's the key. Leave them there, for He cares for you. That's special to me. But sometimes we get caught up during the day and we just pick that thing right back up and we stick it in our pocket and we go forward again. And He says, leave it there. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, this is in the New Living Testament or translation. It says, don't worry about a thing. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then we come to the place of worrying our prayers. You know, we pray and then we start worrying about them again. Okay, we just undo everything we just prayed about. You know, we stand in there and force, you know, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that devil and I claim this and I claim that. And then you go back and you start worrying again. James chapter 1. Verse 5 through 8, this is from the Message Bible. It says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help. And you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Don't worry your prayers. Now, we're going to push in a little bit deeper here with the things of the kingdom that I was talking about. It's important that we understand, because on earth as it is in heaven, He's unfolding the things of heaven in this earth. This is what's going to get the attention of everyone. When God, as God starts moving here, He's going to move in such a way that everybody is going to recognize that He's here. They're going to recognize that He is God. Now, not everybody is going to be happy about that. There will be some. They will shake their fist at Him. They will curse Him. They want nothing to do with Him. But they will have met the Lord. They will know beyond a shadow of a doubt who He is. But this is a time where there are those who ignorantly have not fully known who God really is. But now He's going to express Himself. And how does He do that? Through us. Amen. That's our job. He has commanded us to go into all the nations. All the nations. So wherever we go. And I look at it this way, probably the best way to do that is evangelism lifestyle, where you go individually. I mean, we have teams that will go out and we'll hand out tracts and stuff like that. But the most important thing is one-on-one. When you're with someone, spending time or a moment with them, and they see the love that you have for someone. You want to have love. You want the presence of God, the fullness of God in every service. I believe He gives that to us in the measure of the love that we have one towards another. So anytime that you come in here with that love. A love that ministers to one another. A love that is merciful. How many of you in here are perfect? Okay, that's why we need to be merciful. Is because there are some times where I'm just a flat-out jerk and I need somebody to have mercy with me instead of going around gossiping about me or saying things about me and being upset. I need somebody to have mercy on me and show me a better way out of it. Amen. This is how we bring forth healing into the body as we go forward. So some of the ways that God has shown me is through laws and principles. And laws and principles, there's some in the natural and there's some in the spiritual realm. For instance, we have the law of gravity, and we know what gravity does, right? You go climb up on top of the roof and jump off, you know, gravity's going to take you to the earth. But there's also ways with combinations of laws that you can override certain laws. And that's how we get airplanes to fly, because of the law of power and lift, okay? Thrust and lift. That's how an airplane, it overrides gravity. It gets off the ground. Gravity is still there. It's still a law. It's still a principle. But there's something higher than that that overrode it. So as I was going through the Word, God began to show me some things that would help me to develop spiritually. And one of those things was the word discipline. Because there are times where we need to discipline ourselves to do the basics in the Word of God in order to receive the fullness of what God's trying to instruct us with. But He said, if you stay in discipline, it becomes a chore. There's something that is greater than discipline, and it's called delight. It doesn't do away with discipline, because there's times where you need discipline to get into a thing. But He says it will change your life, the way that you look at things, if you enter into delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, so for some of you, you know, that do workouts, that go to a gym, you may discipline yourself starting out, you know, especially as we get through the holidays, you know, everybody goes to a gym and they get their gym cards and everything, you know, to work out. And you start working out, you have to discipline yourself to get into that. But you'll notice that if you do it long enough, there comes a delight where you look forward to doing it. And if you don't do it, if you miss it, then you miss it. You know, oh, something's missing out in my life. Why? Because I'm finding a delight in there, because I'm receiving results from that. And it's that way in the kingdom of God as well. He doesn't want it to be a chore. Oh, I got to go to church today. No, it's, I get to go to church today. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is here. Things are happening here. God wants to minister to me here, and I want to worship Him, enter into that place with Him. Then there's obedience and obligation. Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice is another principle, another law. But any time that sacrifice comes into play means that something has been broken, something has been damaged. So obedience didn't take place, so there has to be a sacrifice to fix that thing, okay? So both are good, both are needed. But then there's also the obligation. Oh, I have to do that thing. Why? Because I'm a Christian and I have to do it. I don't really want to do it, but I have to do it because I'm obligated to do it, okay? But the thing that overrides that and overrides everything is called love. Because if you operate in love, then it changes everything. 1 Corinthians 13, that's the love chapter. It talks about, I can do all things. I can do big things for God. If I have not love, then what good is that? Not that the person that I'm doing it for, not that they don't benefit by it. That happens. But the thing of it is, there's so much more that God wants to reveal in that. Now, I had a thing happen since COVID happened, because I'm the care pastor, so I have to take care of a lot of situations. And I did not come out looking good in this. Nobody would know it unless I shared it, but I'm going to share it with you because it says something here about serving others. It's not just about serving or loving. It's about serving well, loving well. And it takes everything up a notch when we do that. It's not just loving and serving out of convenience, which is easy, okay? Okay, they need a birthday present over here, so you go and you just, oh, okay, and you throw it out. It's out of convenience. Okay, that thing's done. What if you put time in prayer, and what would really bless that person? See, it takes time. It takes thought. It takes love. It takes it up another level. And what that does is it adds value to that person. Wow, that person really thought of me. This wasn't just, okay, I get those all the time, you know, Christmas time, you know, you get different things. And I appreciate it all because at least they do notice, okay? So that's good. And I don't begrudge that. And that's not the point of it here. But back to my story. So I was over in Haiti. I go over to Haiti and do some missionary work over there. And I just got back into the States and then everything shut down, okay? And a couple months after I was back here, I get a phone call from a couple of ladies. You need to go check on so-and-so. They're not answering their phone, and we haven't been able to get in touch with them. And, you know, I just got home from church. This was a Sunday afternoon. Just got home from church, and I'm thinking, okay, here we go. As a pastor, you know these things. You know, in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 in the morning, there are times you receive phone calls. So I go over. And we called, and we can't get in. I'm knocking on the door of her condo, and I hear a voice, oh, I'm coming. Okay, so we're still outside waiting for about 10 minutes, and the door's, I don't have a key or anything, and the door's locked. I can't get in. And so I took my wife with me, so we're waiting. I go, well, we got to do something. I don't know what's going on in there. So I broke in through the door. Yeah, a pastor knows how to do stuff like that, right? God forgive me. I don't do it anymore. Haven't done it for a while. But anyway, yeah, a lot of things before Christ. A lot of things before Christ. So we open the door, and there's a big problem there. We had a mess from the bathroom to the bedroom, the hallway into the kitchen, with this person laying on the floor, and so we had a serious situation, okay? And my wife handles that she's very compassionate. She is amazing, you know, and she jumps right in, and I'm sitting there, and I'm mad at God. I said, why me? Why me? Now, I've served a lot, I've given a lot, but you see, we're in a season where God wants more from me. He's refining me. And there are things that are deeply inside of us that He is working out because it hinders His work. And so she doesn't know that I'm mad at God. You know, the person laying on the floor. I mean, you know, I'm taking care of business, so to speak. But I'm still upset with God about this. I say, why me? Why couldn't it be somebody else here? He says, because you're it. He says, you're it. Now, this goes to the part of obligation. He knew that I would not do it. He knew that I was going to take care of it. But he was showing me something else in there, that there were some things I needed to take care of in order for the fullness to take place in what was happening. So I had to call the paramedics. They had to come out. They had to take her to the hospital. She didn't have COVID at the time. But at the time, we didn't know that. So so then I'm on the phone trying to find out, how are we going to get somebody to come in and clean this? Well, you know, you're looking at the lowest price is $1,000 to come in there to take care of. They have to dress up in their hazmat suits because of the COVID and everything. And it's a Sunday, and so I'm trying to think of what to do. So, I mean, I would have paid, I couldn't afford the $1,000, but I'd have paid somebody a couple hundred bucks to go in there and do it, you know. And there was nobody. So my wife and I, we had to go in there. We had to shampoo the carpets. We had to completely clean the apartment. And she was in the hospital for a month, and she recovered. She didn't have the COVID, but she didn't do the right things taking care of herself, and she was self-medicating with medications she shouldn't be taking. And not that she's a drug addict, okay? She's 87 years old, so she's not doing that. But anyway, so I had a problem. I'm working through that. A couple months later, this same person. I had keys made, so we had other ladies that could go and check on this person, right? I get a phone call. It's a Sunday. I get a phone call. The keys aren't working. We can't get into the apartment. I've got a key. I go, okay, I'll be right over. As soon as I pull in and I go up, it's on the third floor. As soon as I go in, oh, the key works. And they go in, and the same scenario all over again. And I've got three other ladies there, and they're just, oh, you know, what do we do? What do we do? So I already knew what to do. I go, do this. I'll call the paramedics. They'll come out and get her again. And I'm still mad at God. I said, God, I won't say what I said to him. But God, you know, God's working on me. He knows me. I said, I still don't like this. I still don't understand why I had to be the one doing this. And for the second time, you know, and he says, you're it. And what he's saying to us is that because I'm designed a certain way, he knows I'm going to do it, but he's trying to shove me, and we should be led of the Lord. He's shoving me into a better place in serving. He goes, it's going to be more beneficial for you over here. Because if you do it with the right intent, he says, that person that you're serving, it shows and it adds extra value to them. And it also ministers more to you as well, because you're doing it out of love and out of compassion. God is love. I am love. I want you to love them. So, for that person that needs that gas card, at the end, you can come up and see me. Don't look at it as if Pastor Jeff is giving you a gas card. It's God that's giving it to you. He's trying to show you that he's the one that takes care of you. He uses each one of us in different ways to minister to each other, if you give him the opportunity to. So a person is blessed in our actions. A person should be blessed. We should be blessed. But most of all, God should be honored in it. It should bring glory to him in everything that we do. And so it's all a shifting on my part. Now I'm doing much better. The pressure's off. Okay, guys, you know, I'm good now. But I wasn't then. I had to work through those things. And I'm saying that because there are little things that get in our crawl. There are little things that come in and mess our lives up. And we're trying to figure out what it is. It's not a major thing, but it is something. And God is trying to move us to a place to where we move and we look at things the way that he does. And if we will do that, it will be much better for us. So there's another set. It's called needs and wants. We need God. Everybody needs God. We go to God because we have needs, right? But there's a higher force there, and it is called want. Not that you want, but that you want Him. Yes. You want Him more than the needs. This is a part where a lot of Christians get into problems, and most of the times it's not a willful thing, but because when you have needs, you have needs. But we fall into a place where we become a Christian pickpocket, where all we want is that need to be met, but you don't necessarily want Him. The only time you go to Him is when you have a need. It's for those who hunger and thirst after Him. It's for those, He says, if you draw close to Me, I'll draw close to you. This is all about a relationship with Him. And He wants you to understand these things. I still have to work on these things because I don't get all of them right. But I'm a work in progress, and I am making progress. Things are changing dramatically in my life because of that, because I have certain understandings. And coming into this Christmas season is understanding the principles of what takes place. So several years ago, my wife and I, around Christmas time, we're at a restaurant, and we're eating, and my wife, she leans over and she says, we need to tip this waitress good. I go, okay. And then she tells me what she wanted to tip her, and I go, okay. And it was a large amount. So my wife hears from God, you know, there was no doubt about that, but, you know, the pressure's on, you know, do I have enough money to get out of here, you know, paying my bill and everything. And, but anyway, she tipped the waitress that, and the waitress just broke. She said, if you hadn't have done this, there would be no Christmas for my kids. That was God ministering to that waitress. This waitress had His undivided attention. Yes, we were the avenue by which she received it, but it came from Him. Yes. If we can picture that, then we understand how important we are to each other. Yeah. Oh, I'm just sitting back. Oh, God's going to take care of it. Yeah, He usually does it through people, okay? So we're still sitting there, and there's a busboy, an older gentleman that's cleaning the tables and everything, and my wife leans over and says, we got to give him a tip. I go, okay, how much is it? And so she told me, I go, okay. So she gave it to him, and I'm just sitting there sweating bullets. Don't let that cook stick his head out the window in the kitchen, because I don't know, I don't have any more money on me. But guys, we don't do that all the time. We can't do that all the time. But there are certain times where He says, if you have it and somebody needs it, don't just say bless you and then go on your way. He says, minister that to them. Because He will give it back to you. This is seed time and harvest, see? And so this is what makes all the difference in people's lives. One of the hardest things that I had to learn in the giving, and especially about giving out of convenience, is we did an encounter. Remember, we were doing encounters. And part of the encounter that we did is you have a section where, you know, you go up to somebody and say, I forgive you, or, you know, whatever. And so we're doing this, and my son comes up to me. He says, I forgive you, Dad. Well, he had my attention. My son, I don't know how many times I've ever had to correct him, and the correction was a look. Because of his heart, okay? My daughter, I'd have to hit her in the head with a baseball bat to get her attention and then deal with it, okay? My son was not that way. I had a great relationship with my son, and I'm thinking, let's see, I've coached his baseball team. I've done, you know, never had a problem with him, and he said, you take better care of other people's kids than you did me. That breaks your heart. You know, I'm sitting there trying to hold it together, you know, okay. For one thing, I'm trying to say, is this actually true? And even if it's not true, it's his perception.
Right.
And I just said, thank you for forgiving me. Then I got alone with God, and God began to deal with me on these matters. So as it turns out, I was giving to my son, but I wasn't giving to him what he needed. I was doing what I assumed he needed. That's lazy. That was laziness on my part. So he's suffering because of that. And because he's tenderhearted, he's not going to say anything to Dad, but I'm so grateful that he did, because it changed things. It made our relationship so much better, because I realized I've got to do some things different. So then I figured, well, let's see, I messed it up with my son, so I probably did with my daughter as well. So I went to her and I asked her to forgive me, which she did. And I figured I did it to my wife, and I'm going to cover all the bases. So I asked her to forgive me, and she did, and it improved our relationships. So I had to think, okay, because they belong to me, I think they're okay. We all love God. We're okay. And that's where I missed it, is because the finer things in their lives that they needed weren't the important things to them. So I'm thinking, okay, for my kids, I told my kids, and this was just a start of how I was going to deal with this. I said, you bring your car over on a Saturday. Anytime you bring it over, I will wash and I will wax. I will clean your car out. If you bring it over every week, I'll do it every week for you. I did that for my son and my daughter. So that was pretty good. I said, this isn't based upon your birthday. It's not about how good you are. It's not a Christmas present. I said, anytime, because you're my son and you're my daughter, anytime I'm available on that, I'm going to do that for you anytime on a Saturday. And then I had to think of my wife. Okay, it's going to be a little more difficult. She's one of the best persons I know, but she is a wild hare, boy. She's the opposite of my temperament, and she's a go-getter, all for God most of the time. But here's the thing. I could get her a $10,000 diamond ring, and she'd be happy with that, but that's not what floats her boat. And I did get her, actually it's a little more than a $10,000 ring. She enjoys it, okay? Took a lot of effort to do that, paid cash for it, so it wasn't on a layaway plan. We took care of it, and I'm not in that position all the time, but it just so happened that I was. That was nothing to her, so to speak. So I said, okay, I will clean the house every week. I will vacuum. I will do every bathroom. I will do the kitchen. I will do the vacuum. I will do everything. You never have to do it again. That meant something to her. Woohoo. All right. Now, guys, I'm going to let you off the hook. This is what I had to design. I'm not saying you're obligated to what I had to do, okay? All right, I got to clear that up now. Yeah, no amens from the ladies on that one, huh? You thought you had them. Okay. But that made all the difference in the world to her. Now, she'll still pitch in and still do it, but she doesn't have to. And that was the key thing. She didn't have to do that. You see, I elevated the giving from what was convenient to what was very good. It was excellent. God wants to love you lavishly, extravagantly. That's His heart. That is His character. And He wants us to treat each other the same way. And when you go throughout, whether you're going to a grocery store, whether you're going to a gas station or whatever, and you meet somebody, treat them with respect. Why? Because they have an element of God in them as His creation. They may not be born again, but God still wants to touch them with His love, because that is what changes their lives, and it can change everything for them. And sometimes we get into a place where things aren't going well. You go into a restaurant and your waitress is not doing her job, and you know, you can get real cranky and everything. How about if you're saying, you having a bad day? Can I pray with you? Instead of, all right, where you been? You know, go, you know, yell at everybody. You see, God is putting a lot upon us, but he's not having us do anything that we can't do, because He's put it inside of us. And He's wanting to light that thing in us that we can operate with excellence in everything that we do. So This is the thing that we're going through this year, for the last couple of years. God has his kingdom, and he has the church in his kingdom. He's empowered the church, he's strengthening the body, and he's beautifying. Did I make up a word? I don't know if beautifying is a word. But anyway, he's purifying his bride, okay? And all three are important in the kingdom. God is sweeping across, and he's doing a major work that's taking place. Now, I'm a real reserved person, personality-wise. I'd just as soon go and hang out at the back and do my thing, and I'm good to go. But right after COVID broke out, and then we had the thing with George Floyd, we had all that stuff, God said, I want you to do a Facebook thing and send out. And I'm, okay, I don't even know how to do it, and I don't know what exactly that entails. But I belong to a group called MICAH. It's M-I-C-A-H. And it's a group of churches in Margate where we get together every month and we do community things together. This is another thing that God's doing. He's eliminating denominations.
Yes.
Okay? Do you know what denomination means? It means division.
Yeah.
$1, $5, $10, those are denominational bills, right? Now, you still may have the name Baptist Church or Methodist Church or whatever, but he's going across the board with this thing, and he is all about building the church, his church, not a church. And so for this this MICAH thing that we were doing, so we would post things on there, a little 2-minute, 3-minute clip. And he says, I want you to do it the same way with the ice bucket challenge. I go, okay. And he said, I want you to use 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where if my people are called by my name, if they will repent and humble themselves, then I will hear them and I'll heal the land. I did that, okay? I said, okay, but you're going to have to make this go, because I'm not really into all that stuff. So I did that. And one of the techie guys at our church, he's really into the Facebook thing and the YouTube and all that stuff. He's all excited, and he comes up to me. He goes, right after I release, he goes, you already have 50,000 hits, views on this. Oh, okay. Does that mean something? He goes, yeah. He goes, that don't usually happen. A couple days later, he goes, you've had 1 million hits. I said, God, I want 2 million hits, okay, 2 million views. About a week and a half later, I had 2 million. I kept doing it. I kept upping it till we got to 5 million. There's been over 5 million. And then it was sent out again, and I think there was another million. So I've had about 6 million views on this. But you see, this is God's involvement in it. This was nothing that I dreamed up. I'm not smart enough to do it that way. This is God's maneuvering. He says, I'm going to sovereignly move. It's not about a personality. He said, I'll use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I said, amen, you just did it, okay? Because I had no clue what's taking place. But it shows you the impact. Here I am. I'm the one that wants to be behind the scenes, and yet he's throwing it out there where people, I understand, would kill for 5 million views on something that they put on something like that. So I assume they know what they're talking about. But the thing of it is, what does God want to do in your life? How does he want to use each one of you? What are your gifts? What are your talents? He is going to bless you. This is going to be the best Christmas we've ever had. I firmly believe that with all my heart. I believe we're going to see things. I believe that we're moving into a place where miracles will be the norm.
Amen.
And then the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as I read those are coming alive to me like never before. And I've been doing this for a long time, but now there's a certain turn to it. I'm gathering the life and the full capacity of these books now. To where he says to the believer, he says, I will confirm your word with signs and wonders, with miracles. So that means wherever I go, there should be signs and wonders. There should be miracles that take place. If somebody is sick in body, I should be able to lay hands upon them and they shall recover. Why? Because God is confirming his word. So God is rallying all of us. He gives direction to the pastor of the churches. And he's pulling everybody together into the kingdom because we are one body. So abundant life has a certain message. Liberty, you all here, you have a certain message. But it's all one body, and we function a little bit differently. But it's all for one cause and one purpose and one direction that we're going in. And so that's the reason why God's wanting to take care of you today. That's why he's wanting to minister to you. Do you remember what we did at the first? You gave him all your anxieties, all your cares. Some of you slipped back in, you started worrying again, didn't you? That's all right. If you got to cast that thing down 100 times, cast it down, okay? Over in Philippians chapter 4, it says, once you cast it down, think on these things. Those things that are good, those things that are true, those things that are just, those things that have virtue and praise. Think on those things. Fill it up. Don't let the nonsense in. Your brain's too small to rent out that space to those things. He's wanting to set you free and to keep you free. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anybody here sick in body? Go ahead and stand. Is that your husband next to you? Okay. You a believer? Okay. Who's this person next to you? Okay. Are you a believer? Okay. What I'm wanting to do is to show you something, that you do not have to have a pastor, an apostle or a prophet to lay hands upon you and for you to recover. Your husband is a believer. He has everything that pertains to life and godliness in him. He has the anointing of God as your covering. He's your protector in your home. He has the power in your life. He's not got the power to ride over you. He has the power to minister, to love you, and to care for you. And so I'm going to have him lay hands upon you. The person next to you, I want you to just to touch her shoulder. And I'd like for you to go back and lay hands upon her as well, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we call upon the name of your Son. We call upon the name of your Son. You said, Father God, that signs and wonders would follow those that believe. And now we lift her up to you in faith and in love to put her in a position, Father, to receive your word. You sent your word to heal her. And now we call forth the life and the power of that word that shall minister that to her. It shall drive out that which is broken. Right to the root of the problem. Right to the root of the problem. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, honor this husband right now as he lays hands upon his wife. Honor him, Father God, and honor her in this relationship, this covenant relationship. It is the same covenant that we have through your Son, Jesus. And so shall it be done in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Anybody else sick in body? Who's this gentleman? Your husband. You going to lay hands on her?
Sure
not. Not like this now, okay? Unless you just drive that thing, the devil, out of, you know, what's causing the problem. Join her hands. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just come before you with a gladness in our heart, with an expectation of knowing that your word is true. Your word cannot fail. It is impossible for your word to fail. And we speak life into this body right now in the name of Jesus. Run up and down throughout her entire being right now in the name of Jesus. Gives no place to the enemy. No place to the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that eternal life. We thank you for that healing, Father. Thank you. And honor this husband, Father, as he lays hands upon her. He's in covenant with her. And I put a demand upon your goodness, your healing power that is in him, that it be transferred unto her, that it ministers life to her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Anybody else? Yeah, I was saving the best for last, right? Praise God. We've known each other for a long time.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, in your precious name. Everybody, just join your faith with us. Father, we come before you with all of our faith together as we approach your throne. And Father, I stand against this ungodly attack.
Yes.
I stand against a spirit of infirmity that would try to harm her, to torment her, to torture her all the days of her life. You came that she might have life and have it more abundantly. So, Father, we draw out of this wonderful covenant with your Son, Jesus. There is soundness, there is wholeness, there is healing in it, and we draw forth from it in the name of Jesus. And I speak it under her body right now. No place, no place, no place for the enemy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Be filled in Jesus' name. Be filled in Jesus' name.